everybody. Hi, it is Radio Free Kafiristan on a Sunday afternoon. This is a radio program dedicated to proclaiming the truth to the masses who are trapped behind the green curtain of Islam. This prevents them from learning the truth of what this ideology teaches. Over the next hour, God willing, we will discuss the truth about the religion of Islam, its origins, its sources, its practices, its root system, and the fruit it bears. Shalom. Peace and blessings for my Facebook peeps over here on my Eric Smith channel and up here on Global Patriot Radio. Welcome. Thank you for coming. This is coming to you live from the Capitol Cave in Dar al-Harb, Kafiristan, and I am again joined, directed, and led by the red of the right. Oh, my goodness. I ought to be a poet. No, I shouldn't be a poet. But Kel Fritzy is with me again today. Thank you, Kel. We are here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central, or no, 5 p.m. Let me get this right. I mess this up all the time. I don't know why I can't do this. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m., 11 p.m. Nigeria time, and in the center of the universe, in Jerusalem, where our nation's embassy is located, it's midnight. You guys can go to bed. You have to get up early in the morning, and you can listen to this on your iPods in podcast, or not podcast. What do we call that? We call that, I don't even care what we call it. Again, like I said, I'm live casting live on Facebook here. And I am live cast. This is my Eric Smith Facebook page, my personal Facebook page. And then over here, I'm on Global Patriot Radio. And I see we have Debbie Abbott is here. Brian Glover is here. And Ron Friedman, you're all here. Thank you for coming and joining me this afternoon. And in Global Patriot Radio, we have Christy Johnson from Usama Doc Duck show, what do we call that? Revealing the Truth of, I'm just having all kinds of brain cramps this afternoon. I don't know why, but it's Revealing the Truth About Islam, which airs every Saturday evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And they have to go late on Saturdays. Why? Because Usama often speaks on Saturdays, and this is a consistent time, from what I understand, where he can be available to talk or to have a radio show consistently. Now, I need to know something, Kel, and I'm going to go over here to chat, because last week I was having some problems with the Facebook, or not the Facebook, but the Skype was freezing and I was not coming in loud and clear. Am I coming in loud and clear this afternoon, or is it sputtering and stuttering like it was? Because last week when I got on my Facebook and Global Patriot Radio live cast, whatever we call that, it sounded terrible. And the reason why it sounded terrible is because it was fading in and out. And it was like I'd say one word and then five words you couldn't hear, and then I'd say two words and you couldn't hear. So let's see. Okay, Mary says I sound great. Mary says I sound great. Well, then that's all I need to know. I am going to proceed.
Oh, you're absolutely marvelous. You're coming through stellar.
Oh. Kel, thank you. I appreciate that. And wasn't that just, like, terrible last week where I had to call back? And I was, like, in a panic mode last week when I had to do that. Have you ever had to do that before where you sounded terrible and you got to call back in? And
yes, I have. And
okay. Well, maybe if I had as many years of experience,
but you're sounding absolutely perfect tonight, dear man.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kel. Okay. So let's go ahead and get rolling. Where was I at? I never lose my place because I always have this written out, you know, because it's like my safety blanket. I always write things out so I don't lose where I am, and I cover everything that way. I like to be thorough. Okay, so remember, a kafir is someone who does not heed the beliefs, prescriptions held by the religion of Islam. You don't, and I invited a couple people. As a matter of fact, I invited a couple people from Facebook to call into my show today. Let me check real quick and see if they have. No, not there yet. Okay, well, we'll see if they call in. But anyway, a kafir is someone who does not heed the beliefs and prescriptions held by the religion of Islam. I know it has like 7 or 8 different meanings, so don't call in and talk to me about that. Call in and let's talk about, I have it listed, as a matter of fact, in my monologue today. We'll talk about that here in a second. Kafiristan is Dar al-Harb. You have 2 different houses in Islam. You have the House of War and the House of Peace. House of War is Dar al-Harb. House of Peace is Dar al-Islam. So where Sharia law is not applied, you are in Dar al-Harb. You are in the House of War, and that's exactly where Kafiristan is. So if you ever see a sign that says House of War, you know that's where Eric Zuckerfer is located. If you want to call in the show today and participate, the call-in number, of course, is area code 319. And I've got my Iowa shirt on here. I don't know if you can see my Iowa shirt. 319 right there in Cedar Rapids, 527-6706. Let me say that one more time. Area code 319-527-6706. Today we're going to have – I'm not going to call it my rant anymore because I just don't – rant on. I don't get upset about some of these things. I'm just going to call it maybe a monologue, which sounds more professional, dare I say. I don't want to get too uppity here, but I think a monologue is a better name for it. Then we're going to move to a couple current events, and then today we're going to flip the Christian apologetic. We're going to make that first because that is what the show is about, answering some of these Islamic objections to Christianity, and I plan to give you a laundry list that is about 100 pages long. So be prepared to write these verses or book, chapter, and verses down, and you can look them up, and then you can come back here and say, well, maybe it doesn't mean that or something. I don't know what your rebuttal would be, but I'm going to provide you the opportunity to do that. Okay, and then we'll get to the Islamic tree, which is just finishing up basically where we left off last week about the history of Islam or the bloody history of Islam, because there's a couple things that I want to touch on that to bring us into the 21st century. Okay, I've had a very frustrating afternoon. I was outside, and I have an iPod. I know this is a very archaic iPod. It's large compared to some of them you can get, but it's mine, but I broke my case. And when I can't listen to my iPod, you know, I always listen to everybody else's show in podcast. And when I can't put this on my belt or hook it to my pod, I feel, dare I say, naked. No, that's not a good term, but I'm just uncomfortable. So I had to go in and I had to order myself a new one. And then I'm out in the garage and the Queen of Kafiristan needs some gas put in the mower. So I go to put gas in the mower. I take the first gas can. I go to put it in. It spills all over the place. Of course, I'm not happy, and I'm saying some things that I shouldn't say. So I pick up the second gas can, and the same thing happened. So I came in the house. I got gas all over my hands. I got gas all over my feet. I still smell like gas, despite the fact that I put like a half a can of body spray on it. It still stinks like gas in here. Okay, enough of my own personal problems. Today, we're going to briefly touch on the cult or culture of death. And this came from news story where it says, Gaza conflict, Hamas chooses to let children die for its own crazy ends. And this is what we would refer to as Pallywood. And there was a video that was out. I can't remember whose website it was on, but it was the Palestinians have all of these draped bodies of people who have been killed. They have been martyred for their cause. But what was odd about the video is that one of the martyrs that was draped, you know, had this white sheet over, you know how they bury him, they put a white sheet over him. Evidently, his nose was itching. So he had to go, he had to scratch it, and all you see is this shroud over this body moving. Now, one of two things could happen here when you see something like this. You can go, oh my goodness, he came back to life, or you go, this guy is lying through his teeth in order to promote an ideal. And that's what I'm talking about here. When you say that the children, what they're doing is they're allowing their children to die for their own crazy ends, only the sickest of people, only the sickest of people would endanger those children who are the most vulnerable. And what I mean by that is that you're storming a fence, a border fence to a country that you feel oppresses you, and you know that there are men, or women, it's the Israeli army anyway, located with guns that can hit you from over a mile away. But yet you choose to take your children to events like this. That is sick. Imagine that just for a second. What kind of hatred do you have for somebody in order to endanger the very ones that you are supposed to love and cherish? What kind of evil is that? I mean, that to me, that's demonic. I mean, to think that I would endanger my children or my grandchildren for something like that is absolutely an anathema. It's absolutely absurd. Who would do that? When we talk about the people who have been killed, I think their death toll was 62. It may be higher. Of that, 45 to 50 of them were terrorists that belonged to Hamas. So when they start sniveling about Israel using disproportional force, and that's the key word there, is disproportional, the argument becomes absurd in and of itself. When you have thousands of people threatening to storm your fence, your border fence, and then invade your country, and their sole purpose, their goal, is to snatch as many Israeli citizens as they possibly can to either A, kill them, or B, kidnap them, and you know what's going to happen if they kidnap them. The likelihood that you ever seen that loved one again alive is not very good. The second thing that they're going to do is, like they've done in the past, is they're going to demand that you let so many of their hundreds or thousands of their PLO brothers out of your jails that you are supposedly repressing. Now, the only reason why they do this is to garner some type of sympathy. And here's why they have to garner their sympathy in order to advance their ideology. Number one, they can't advance their ideology through intellectual means. What I mean by that is they can't advance their ideology through legitimate argumentation. And I see this every day on Facebook. As a matter of fact, let me jump over there and check that real quick. I sent a couple notes to people who are engaging me, and I do not see them posting anything back. I posted a link so they can come to Radio Free Kafiristan today, and I'm looking in the studio, and they haven't showed up. But these the argument that we're discussing today dealt something like, it goes on the lines of this. They make this charge that the Bible is full of pornography, and the place in the Bible where they point to is Sodom and Gomorrah. And when you get to Sodom and Gomorrah, after God had destroyed the city for its immorality, Lot and his two daughters flee the city. Well, the wife flees. She turns around. We know what happens to her. But him and his two daughters flee, and they get him drunk and have sex with him so they could become impregnated. And the person who posted this, see, the Bible's full of pornography. Well, number one, Lot is not somebody that sets an example for us to follow. Lot was somebody who disobeyed God. He continued to live in Sodom, where a place where that he should not have been if he had indeed been a godly man. And the second thing with Lot that I might say is that if he had indeed been a godly man, you would have think that he would have been able to at least affect 10 people, because wasn't that what Abraham, when he prayed to God, he said, if I find at least 10 righteous people in Sodom, would you spare the city? And God said, yes, 10. Well, if he had been an influence on people there, if he had indeed been a prophet, like Muslims like to claim he was, he would have done that, and we would not have had this problem. But what they fail to do is when we talk about argumentation, what they fail to recognize is what their own prophet did, and they widely accept this. It's in the Hadith. I mean, he had sex with a 9-year-old girl and he calls it marriage. And they don't have a problem with that, but they do have a problem with Lot, who is not a prophet by any standard at all, getting drunk by his daughters because they thought that the entire world had been destroyed and that this was the only way that they were going to be able to continue to have children at all. So that's why they got him drunk, something that wasn't brought up, by the way. The second thing is they can't advance their positions through the political or legal means. If I'm a big fan of Jay Sekulow, and he's argued cases against this lawfare that's been waged by Palestinians and the BDS movement in The Hague, spoke at the UN, and has litigated it here in the United States, and they can't advance their means because they don't have a legal leg to stand on. They can't advance their cause through the historical means. Why? Because there's never been a Palestine. There was no such country as Palestine. It was part of the Ottoman Empire. Hello, the Ottoman Empire, you know, that Islamic caliphate that existed for near 500 years. That region was controlled by the Ottomans, not by the Palestinians, the Ottomans. And then after World War I, when the Ottoman Empire disintegrated, then it was ruled under the British Mandate, under a place called the Transjordan. There was no Palestine. So when they start saying, well, we are the Palestinian people, no, you're not. No, you're not. And to say that is a lie. So you have to lie or reinvent history. And then they can't advance it through force. I mean, here's how – this is the force that they use. This is how Hamas uses force. They're given all these rockets by Iran – and they fire them, they store them, number one, in schools and hospitals. And then they fire them from schools and hospitals, knowing that the Israelis have the moral obligation and duty, and they follow it, not to fire indiscriminately into those schools or those hospitals where those rockets are coming from. And they know this, and they use this. What a bunch of sissies. They have no backbone, and they have no courage at all to come out, and if they want to square off, why don't they come out and square it off then? They have no courage, whether it's moral or physical courage. But the thing is that, and this is what they hate, they've been humiliated by the Jews, and they cannot stand that. There's an article on my Eric Smith Facebook page that I had. It's towards the bottom where it discusses how the Muslims for centuries have dominated the Jews, but now when they cannot dominate the Jews, and they are thereby humiliated by their Jews because of their station, this is how they lash out. It is like a demonically inspired hatred is what it is. And this is the type of things that they will do. They will put children out there. To be killed, their own children. That's a special kind of hate, and it can only be demonically inspired. So all the Kafirs in Kafiristan said, I'm looking in the chat room, and I got a lot of people in chat today. Thank you so much for coming, folks. I see Cog is there. Biggin showed up. Thank you, Biggin, for coming. My Mary is there. I saw Mary. I think she was the first in chat. She got the gold star today. And then Movin is here, and Smoke from Texas, and Tim, Tap Into the Truth, is here. Thank you, folks, for coming. I would try to look and see what you guys are talking about in there. Smoke. Yeah, I see that. Okay, I'm gonna get away from that because it's a radio show and I have to actually be making some sense here, because when I'm reading something, nobody wants to sit there and listen to this Kafir read something and go from there. Okay, so today's topic is going to be, where does Jesus say, "I am God, worship me"? Where does he say that? Well, when we ponder this question as Christians, a lot of Christians have a problem. Actually, most Christians have a problem answering this question, and the reason why is because most Christians don't spend a lot of time reading their Bible. And I'm guilty of that. You know, we should. If you ever want to learn something, if you ever want to be solidly grounded in it, then you need to devote a certain part of your day towards that end. And reading your Bible is one of those things. So a Christian, when they are confronted with this question, often has a hard time answering it. But if you're like myself and you have no life, this is all you do is argue things like this. So, again, excuse me, I was on I'm on Facebook quite a bit, and I like to engage in, let me see here, what are the names of these groups that I'm often engaging in? Let me go to home, and I engage in, let's see, Bible versus Quran. Then I also Bible versus Quran, Defend Islam or Leave, Bible versus Quran, Bible versus Quran, Disciple. You know, I'm in these groups and in these discussions all the time. And I try to, you know, I try to engage on an honest and intellectual basis a lot of these topics that are posed there. And it's kind of hard sometimes to do that because a lot of times they get flying way off topic, and you'll get spammed with 500 things that are not applicable. But something like this, I ran across this rebuttal one afternoon, and I decided to cut and paste it because it is like major comprehensive. So when we're asked the question, where does Jesus say, "I am God, worship me"? He doesn't say it anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible will you see Jesus saying, "I am God, worship me," like that anyway. But what he does is he does claim to be God in the Bible, and what he does is accept worship in the Bible. And I'm going to take you to the book, chapter, and verses, and I'm going to read to you exactly what he says in a lot of these cases. Now, the most famous and often one that I like to use is John 8:58. Here, Jesus is being challenged by the Sadducees and the Pharisees for what he's teaching. And he says to them, when confronted, he says, Jesus said, "Verily, verily," which is truly, truly, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, when we think of what "I am" means, I mean, John is the book of I am statements. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the door. I am the shepherd. I am all these things." But here, the context for "I am" is completely different. The context for "I am" here is from what we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14, where Moses is at the burning bush and he asked, "Who shall I say is sending me?" And God says, "I am." And Jesus says the same thing, "I am." So he uses the proper name of God here, Yahweh. And I might go off on a little aside here. Yahweh is used 2,807 times in the Bible. The name Yahweh, the proper name of God. As a matter of fact, Jews were so scared of mispronouncing it or misspelling it, they would say something like Adonai, something like that. But here, Jesus uses this name, "I am." Now, if there's any confusion, and the reason why I point that out is because Muhammad did not know the name of God. He did not know the proper name of God. The name of God that every prophet that came before him knew. Muhammad didn't know that. Well, why is that? What kind of prophet doesn't even know the name of the God that he is supposedly speaking on behalf of? Hey, Kel, I noticed that there is somebody that is on hold. Are they just listening? Or you can reply to this in chat. Are they just listening, or do they want to come on the show? Just let me know in chat.
Yeah, they are at this point just listening. And Eric encourages, if you want to come on the airwaves, just press 1 on your dial pad. And that way, we will know that you want to come on the air and be part of the conversation. Otherwise, we will just assume that you are listening. And Eric, Anonymous just raised his hand. he wants to come on the air.
Okay. Oh, he does? Okay, well, bring him on. Or her on. Is it him?
Welcome to the program, Anonymous.
Hey, how you doing today?
I am well. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you know, I'm not too religious, but I think we need Christianity to basically stop Muslims from coming to the country. It's going to be a big culture war, you know?
So you're saying that we should ban Muslims from entering the country? Is that from
the
United States?
Absolutely.
You sound like you're an American. You sound like you're an American, so you're saying we should ban Muslims from coming into the United States.
Yeah, I'm also a race realist, which means I've studied race many, many years. I mean, look at any Muslim country. Look at Europe. I mean, most people in Europe, they wish Muslims – there was just a poll recently that like 80% of Europeans wish Muslims had never migrated there. Did you guys see that?
I have not seen that, but that –
Did you ever see the polls?
I'm not doubting the numbers. I'm sorry?
Did you ever see the welfare that about 80% of Muslims are on welfare in Europe?
I am aware that they do take up a large portion of the welfare budget. I'm very aware that they are not assimilating into the European cultures and that they are using this as a form of jizya. Yeah, okay.
If you also study science, they have an average IQ of around 84, which dramatically impacts the economy in a negative way. No, seriously, I'm like the only person in the world who's ever taken the time to Google average intelligence among race groups. Have you guys ever done that?
Well, actually, no, hold on a second. Just for your information, our producer here, the Red of the Right, Kel Fritzy, did a show a couple years ago where she did bring this fact up, where the average – it's been demonstrated that the average IQ of those people who live in predominantly Islamic countries is about 20 IQ points lower than most of your Western democracies.
Well, yeah, average white IQ is 101.
Okay.
You know, average Arab IQ is around 84. Average Black American IQ is 85. Ashkenazi Jews have the highest IQ average in the world at 116. You know what's funny is scientists have been studying this issue over 110 years, if you study it, yet nobody talks about it because we're supposed to live in a society where we're supposed to act like all races are the same, even though it's so obvious it's not true.
Well,
I mean, look at the world. They make 30 cents an hour in Africa, by the way, if you don't know.
Say that one more time. I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said in Africa, they make 30 cents an hour on average around there. Did you guys know that?
Well, that's economics and natural resources.
Well, yeah,
and a lot of it has
there's a huge, 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 huge relationship between intelligence and economy. I mean, if you're,
well,
you know, the average intelligence in Africa, the average, go ahead.
No, I said what a country can produce. Is based on not only, of course, the intelligence level of its citizens, but it's also based on its educational level, its natural resources, its infrastructure. So there's a lot of things
Let me talk about that a second. Africa is the most nutrient-rich continent in the world. So they have blacks literally have no excuse not to be doing like tremendously well there. Am I wrong or right?
Okay, well, I think you and I are going to have to differ on the.
And let me tell you another thing.
Let me finish this thought. Can I finish a thought on my show here?
Yeah,
go ahead. Let me just finish the thought here. Okay. I would disagree with you strongly on it being a racial or ethnic problem as far as IQ is concerned. A lot of it can be genetic. For example, when you talk about predominantly Islamic countries, what happens there is that they'll marry their first, second, or third cousin, and what happens to that, it destroys the gene pool is what happens. Now, when you start talking about ethnicity – hold on, I'm not done. Hold on, just give me a second here. When you talk about ethnicity, that has to do with the way that you are trained to think. Now, in Africa, a lot of those countries are very tribal, and they are not very open to outside influences. So they're not really being subjected to all kinds of different cultures coming into their own culture. So when you measure their IQs, then therefore they are going to be lower. Now, I'm a teacher, and I teach in a Title I school, and I would say probably 60-70% of the kids that are in my classroom are African American. They're of African descent.
And oh, yeah, I bet the school gets low grades.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I bet you $1 million that your school gets very low grades on average.
No, that's not true. Hold on a second. I've been working there for 10 years. I think I would know the correlation between socioeconomic status and grades and success is a dominant driver for education in individual quotient or intelligent quotient. So when you start talking, it's saying it's racial, I would disagree 100% based on the experience that I've seen in these classrooms and what these kids can achieve. We take these kids from my school, and we go and compete in history competitions against schools that are almost entirely Caucasian. They don't have any minorities on their team. And we win the competition every year. And the reason why we win the competition is because of the effort level that we get from these kids. So to say that it's based on ethnicity or race, I would adamantly disagree with you on that. As a matter of fact, I would say it does not have anything to do with race. I would say it has nothing to do with race, and it has everything to do with the socioeconomic status of the individual, number one. But number two, the influences of that child at home. If your parent was a poor student, then the likelihood of you being a poor student is going to be about the same. Now, you can go ahead and tell me your rebuttal. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, if you've ever actually studied the science on this, scientists believe that IQ is over 80% genetic now, which means that education has very little to do with intelligence. For example, if you take two smart parents, they have very smart offspring. And are you aware that there's a difference in average head and brain size among race groups if you study it, by the way?
Continue.
I've been studying this over 6 years, man. Believe me, I know a lot about the science. For example, okay. I'm not trying to be rude to you. You're a nice guy, but you've never even studied that most scientists think that IQ is over 80% genetic now, right?
Okay, look, Kel, can we move on to something else? I'm not going to sit here and get into a race-baiting conversation with somebody over this. I just disagree. When we start saying that, race is a determining factor on whether or not somebody is going to have a high IQ or not, I hold it. Here's where you're trying to tell me something that you think I don't know. I hold a master's degree in education, and part of the curriculum that we had to study in this dealt with individual or intelligent quotients. And when you start looking at the bell curve, I guess you could say, for the people, when we measure their success in school, what they can learn, what they can't learn, it does not have, number one, it doesn't have a lot to do with IQ, but it has a lot to do, like I was saying, socioeconomic status. And when you start saying, okay, well, the average brain size of this race is that, what starts flashing through my mind is what the Nazis did to the Jews during World War II, to dehumanize them. What they were doing is they're saying, well, look, this is a Jew, and we can prove this is a Jew by the amount of cc's, the size of the brain. It's 850 cc's to, as opposed to whatever. So when we start getting to when we start race baiting here, I don't want to have anything to do with it on my show. I appreciate Anonymous's opinion, but I am going to disagree strongly with him when we start trying to make this a racial issue amongst people. I teach a lot of these black kids in my classroom, and I love them absolutely to death. And to try to stigmatize them and saying that they, on average, have a low IQ, I'm just going to have to respectfully ask you to kiss my ass. Okay, so let's get back to way to go, Thack. Well, that's just a good way to put
star.
This. I'm sorry, Kel. I shouldn't have said that. Hold on. Let me get to the chat room. There is a lady from my church, and she's going to be in there, and she's going to talk to me about that tonight. Sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. Okay.
Oh, no. It was absolutely perfect. And I want to interject a comment in that I think the caller was in earnest, and I think he was trying to, in a very halting way, he was trying to incorporate Islam and the IQ levels of Islamists. And, but unfortunately, you're right, Eric. He failed miserably, and it was going into a race baiting conversation. Right you are, Eric, and thank you for ensuring that he can still listen to the program, but you are moving on. Eric, you're the best.
All right. Well, thanks, Kel. I appreciate that. Okay. Now, let's. What were we talking about? Oh, yes, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Lord, for saying that. But you know, sometimes when I hear things, you know, when you start talking about the kids I teach, you know, they can drive me absolutely crazy. And a lot of them do that on a daily basis. But when you start telling me that they cannot achieve because they have lower IQs because of their race, sorry, I've seen it firsthand. I love those kids to death, and I'm not going to let anybody speak ill of them. Okay, where did Jesus say, "I am God, worship me"? And I pointed out John 8:58. You also can find it all over the New Testament. When we look in the book of Luke, and in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man," which is Jesus, "has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, if you are just a prophet, like Muslims claim Jesus to be, how can he save you? That would be an interesting question that I would like to see answered somehow, some way. We get to Luke 9, chapter 9. 56 is, "For the Son of Man," Jesus, "is not to come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." How can a prophet save men's lives? And we're not talking about saving men's lives in the physical sense. We're talking about saving men's lives in the spiritual sense. Then we get to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man," Jesus, "came not to be ministered unto, but minister, and he gave his life as a ransom for many." How can a mere prophet give his life as a ransom for many? When we start talking about Islamic theology, and a lot of times in Islamic theology, we are told that one man cannot give his life for another. And this is true. It says that in the Old Testament. One man cannot give his life for another. However, Jesus was not merely a man. He was a man. He was flesh, yes, but he was also God incarnate. And this is the piece that Muslims often miss when they start citing that Islamic verse or that Old Testament verse that you cannot give your life for somebody else or as a payment for somebody else. And then everybody's favorite, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God said his only begotten Son, that if you believe in him, you will not perish but have eternal life. But a lot of times we miss what verse 17, John 3:17, says, because it says in that one, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but," listen to this, "but to save the world through him." How can a prophet save the world through themselves? Which prophet that ever came before, whether we talk about Moses, whether we talk about Isaiah, we talk about Daniel, we talk about Ezekiel, we talk about all the prophets of the Bible, which one is able to save us, save the not just us, what does it say, to save the world through him? Which one? Go ahead, call in and let me know. Now the next one, we get to Revelation. Oh, the book of Revelation. And, you know, I'm also a big fan of a guy by the name of James White. And I know. It was Usama's show. Usama doesn't particularly like James. I remember when James went to speak at a mosque in Memphis, Tennessee. What's the guy's name? Dr. Yusuf Adekawi or something like that. They had like a ecumenical event, and James White caught a lot of flack, not only from Usama, but also all kinds of other people. But anyway, James White, his pet peeve is the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. So when we say the book of Revelation chapter 19, it's not Revelations 19:10. It is Revelation 19:10. Enough of that. Okay. You know, sometimes I just get talking way too much, and you need to get in there and just say, hey, shut up, Capper. Get to the point. And so here's the point. It says in Revelation 19:10, it says, and I, John, fell at his feet to worship him. Uh-oh. Worship who? Jesus. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. Oh, no, he's talking about an angel. I'm sorry. He says, see that thou do it not. I'm a fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if you're worshiping Jesus, you're worshiping God. Where did Jesus say, worship me? Revelation 19:10. And here's my favorite. This is the... This is the resurrected Christ, and he is visiting the disciples, and he shows up in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 28 through 29, and he confronts Thomas. We've all heard the phrase, the doubting Thomas. Well, here's where we have Thomas, and he said to Thomas, and Thomas said unto him, my Lord and my God. So he's being called God by one of the disciples. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet believed. And Thomas worshipped him. So he says, you're God, Jesus, and I'm worshiping you. Where does Jesus say, I am God, worship me? Oh, what was that? John 20, 28 through 29. And then my favorite book and chapter of the Bible is John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So what he is saying is that I am in the Father and the Father is also in me. We are one and the same. And if you don't believe me, look what I've done. Look at the works. Then we get to John chapter 10, verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone you, thee not. I love this old Elizabethan King James stuff. You can't understand. It makes it hard to understand, but yeah, I like it. Okay, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now, why would the Jews be saying, you're making yourself to be out to be God, when Jesus wasn't making himself out to be God? Where would they be saying that? Oh, I don't know. Where does Jesus say, I am God, worship me? John 10, verse 33. Now we get to John chapter 5, 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So the Jews want to kill Jesus because he said he was a merely prophet, follow God. Is that what that says? Oh, it must be, the Bible must have been corrupted. I'm sorry, I forgot about that thing. Even though we don't have any, zero, nada, nil, none evidence supporting that fact, but hey, that got to be corrupted because this contradicts what the Quran says. Let me see this again. Therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. John chapter 5, verse 18. Let me get to Matthew. And, you know, Matthew is actually my favorite gospel writer. And the reason, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I really like Matthew. And in Matthew it says, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So did Jesus accept worship? Yes, he did. And then we get to Luke 24:52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So Jesus says he is God, and Jesus accepts worship. But he also says, I am the Son of God, and I'm not going to get into that, but here's one. Where did they say worship Jesus? Well, we get to Matthew 2, verse 2. It says, where is he is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, Jesus, being an infant, couldn't have done anything about it. But here you have the wise men, the magi from the east, coming to do what for Jesus? To give him a high five. No, to worship him. And then Matthew, same book, same chapter, chapter 2, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him unto gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So he is being worshipped here. You get to John chapter 9, verses 35 through 39. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when they had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, that I might believe in him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. So when we start talking about where did Jesus say, I am God, come worship me, it is all over the New Testament. God is the great I am. So when we, and you know, here's one that wasn't in this list, and this comes from, I'm fairly certain, from the book of Mark, if I'm not mistaken. It would take me a second to get there. Let me go over to, I have Bible Gateway. If any of you don't have that bookmark, this is an absolute treasure of a resource, because you can get in here, not only find exactly what you're looking for really fast, I mean the book, chapter, verse, but also you can get different translations to this. You can get some of the easiest ones, and then you get some of the, like I have right here, the King James Version. Let me see here. Arrest of Gethsemane to Sanhedrin. Okay, the high priest stood up in the midst and began to spit. Let's see, the high priest. Okay, here we go. We get in Mark chapter 14, verse, let's start in verse 60. And it says, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But he kept silent, answered nothing. And the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man. And here is something that the Jews would understand. This is Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 stuff. If you need to write it down and go look it up, because this is the absolute tie-in that Jesus makes, declaring that he is indeed God. So he says, verse 62, Jesus says, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And Caiaphas, the high priest, said, well, that doesn't sound exactly what the Son of God would say. Maybe I'm confused. No, Caiaphas understood exactly what Christ was saying here. Because if you read verse 63, what does he do? Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further do we need? What further need do we have of witness? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Now, when we look at what Caiaphas does here, not only is what he said very important, but what he does is very allusional or is very symbolic. The clothes of the high priest at this time were considered to be absolute holy. And for him to rent his clothes, to tear those clothes in response to what Christ said here, nails this like a nail in a coffin. So when Muslims say, where does Jesus say, I am God, worship me, they have no clue to what these things mean. They have no clue to what the symbolism here is in the New and the Old Testament. This is why, you know, this is why we get Muhammad saying in, I think it's chapter 4, verse 171 of the Quran, where it talks about, say not three. Did thou say that you should come worship God the Father, God the Son, God Mary? Muhammad had no idea what he was talking about. He had an astonishingly small understanding, limited understanding of what Christianity taught. And the argument goes something like this. Paul corrupted the Gospels. And we had a whole show on this on Easter. So if you ever want to go back and hear where I discussed that Paul did not corrupt the Gospels, actually the Gospels were given to Paul. The Gospel message was given to Paul by Donald Trump. No, not Donald Trump. The Gospels were given to Paul by Peter. They were given to Paul. The Gospel message, not the Gospels, the books that Muslims find, the Injil, were given to Paul by Peter, James, and John, the big three hitters. James, being the brother of Jesus, became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Peter, of course, was the lead apostle, and John being the apostle that Jesus loved. So where does Jesus say, I am God, come worship me? He says it all over the New Testament. And if you ever want to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to post this this list here. I'm not going to keep this to myself because I want to share it with everybody so everybody can go in here and have a go-to list of where Jesus says that I am God and that he was to be worshipped. And he also goes on to, there's all kinds of other things that are in here that you will find and references that you will find very useful when witnessing to people. Okay, so let's, oh, I see Vorp made it. Thank you, Vorp. We appreciate you coming. And everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for coming. Radio, Global Patriot Radio has a show 7 days, a week. On Sunday, of course, we have Radio Free Kafir Stand, where you have the Kafir, Eric Thekafer, coming to you for an hour. And then on Mondays, we have Mama Mia No Sharia, and that comes on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is hosted by Beto Esposito and our boss, Big Al. On Tuesday, the Red of the Right, Kel Fritzy, has Infidels Are Watching You. And on Wednesdays, you have Civilization Jihad Awareness with our brother Paulie Sutliff, published author, by the way. And then on Thursdays, we have a new show, and I did not update my, I think it's Global Forum. And this past week, who did we have on there this past week? It was a Bill Warner, I think they had on there this past week, and a speech that he had given. Excellent stuff. So if you're ever interested in some of the people that are popular in the counter-jihad movement, Kel has something up there every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then when we get to Fridays, we have The Logic of Islam with Dr. Carl Goldberg. He goes in-depth into Islamic law, Sharia law, and its precepts and what it teaches. And then on Saturdays, we have Revealing the Truth about Islam with our brother Usama Duck and his co-host and producer Christy Johnson. They produce shows every Saturday night, 2 hours long. Absolutely spectacular and very informative show. So everybody that came into the show today, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody on my Global Patriot Radio that came to see me today. Thank you for coming. And let's see here on my own Facebook page. Let's see. Linda James is here. And Robert Katz came. And I can't see. Douglas Cahill came. Thank you guys for coming and all the other ones that had come previously. Thank you for showing up and listening to me rant and rave. So I'm going to go ahead and close things out. Everybody have a blessed Sunday. I will be back here in 2 weeks. Kel has agreed to hold down the fort for me next week. I have to take a bunch of kids to our nation's capital for our annual class trip. I love doing this, but it's a lot of work, and I have to be out of the loop for the weekend. So I will be back here. Well, I don't even know if I'm going to be back here June 3rd because that is our Vacation Bible School kickoff. I might have to move the show up an hour early. Stay tuned when you go looking for the Radio Freak of Fear Stand show that day. I might have to move it up an hour because I think we start our Vacation Bible School. I'm one of the teachers there at 5 o'clock. We'll have to see. All right. God bless everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
American citizen, his pride in his community, as an expression of all that his country stands for, individual independence, with respect for the rights of others, born of the concept that all men are free and equal.
Yeah, you see the Pharisees trip when they Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.